Hello, good evening. I'm Richard. Welcome back to my channel over and over and over again, the Arsenal podcast. This is the first in a brand new series of shows that I'll be doing on the Arsenal women. Something a little bit different. We want to give the women a little bit more coverage. I feel they deserve it. So I've got a panel of guests joining me, all very knowledgeable about the Arsenal women's team. So it's going to be a great show coming up the other side of this. So, you know, good evening. Like I say, we're looking forward to this show. Obviously, the Arsenal women's show, we're going to be talking about the fantastic Arsenal women's team, which they don't maybe get enough publicity. So we're hoping to put that right on this show on a regular basis. As you can see, I'm joined by some very special guests tonight. If we start, obviously, next to me, it's Andreas. Just introduce yourself, Andreas. Well, whereabouts are you from? And obviously, how did you get into the Arsenal women and that kind of stuff?
Yeah, good evening, everybody. My name is Andreas. I'm from Germany. I'm a Gunner from Germany. And I started watching the women's football just when Viv Miedema played at Bayern Munich, which is my German team. And then 2 years later, she went to the Arsenal. So I had to follow the Arsenal women's team. And Vicky Schnatterbeck is one of my favorite players at Bayern Munich. And I was in contact. Even we were exchanging private messages. And when she went to the Arsenal, I promised her, I'll come to London and watch you playing. And so I'm a follower of the Arsenal women team now.
Fantastic. What a great story. That is brilliant. Being friends with one of the players, that's even better, isn't it? What a great story. And also joining us tonight as well, it's Matt. How you doing, Matt? Welcome to the channel. What about yourself? What's your story with the Arsenal women?
Hi, Rich. Glad to be on. Well, I started watching women's football in the 2015 World Cup, and my love for women's football grew from there. I'm currently, unfortunately, just outside Liverpool, so I've got good access to women's football, but Arsenal has been one love. I was lucky enough to see some of the women's game down in Southampton quite briefly. So Leah Williamson, I was able to watch her play, and I just think the women's team has been brilliant, and just keep on following it from there.
Fantastic. Well, I say welcome to the channel as well. And finally joining us as well, we've got Harry, of course, as well. How are you doing, Harry? I say welcome along, and just give us your brief story as well about how you got into the Arsenal women.
Thanks. Well, it's nice to be here. So I'll try to do the brief story. I never do anything brief. So I fell into the women's football a bit by accident. I mean, it all started with the World Cup. Is it the 2019 World Cup? And being a Dutchman, you know, we just happened to come across it on the TV. You know, have to watch it. Fell in love with Vivian Miedema and Danielle van der Donk and Jill Roord and I mean Jackie Groene and all the Dutch players, and then realized that they are, you know, the three of them were in the Arsenal. At the same time, I had this, I haven't been to the Emirates before. I've been a lifelong Arsenal fan since I moved to London in 1980, but never been to the Emirates. And it was my goal to take the boys, my kids to the Emirates. So I'm there looking up tickets, and long story short, I came across the women's tickets, and I thought, well, that's really good value. I mean, I get to see these three players who we've like really liked last month, booked the tickets, and I didn't realize that they played at Boreham Wood. So that was a bit of a surprise. And it was my brother who said to me, oh, you're going to Boreham Wood? What? I didn't even know that. Anyway, we went to see the game, and I just took my two older boys, and we just had a wonderful time. Absolutely brilliant. I met Leah Williamson's mum just trying to get in because we had a problem with the tickets, and you know, what a character. Then the next few games later, we decided I was going to bring my daughter Amelie, and we went to the game, and this was quite a big game for us because at the end of the game, I don't know if anybody's seen this, but there's a video of Beth Mead running along the pitch with my daughter Amelie, And it was just really cute. I mean, it was just wonderful. Such a great experience. And that was it. We're sold. Perfect family atmosphere, wonderful football, brilliant characters. And I follow them more than I do any other team by a country mile.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great story as well. I mean, it's funny, isn't it, really, maybe that a lot of people perhaps get into the women's game or have got into it maybe quite recently because of how it's grown and the popularity's increased. Also, as well, I think the quality of the football's increased as well, hasn't it, over recent years. I mean, obviously, Andreas mentioned that, was it the 2015 World Cup, wasn't it? I mean, that was, since then, the improvements in the game have been massive, haven't they, the way it's moved forward. Since that point, it's been fantastic. And, you know, it's been great to watch Arsenal. I mean, I've been following the Arsenal women pretty much since the beginning, actually. 87, when they were formed, wasn't much going on then. It wasn't really a proper league or anything. But obviously, I've been following them ever since, really. I've sort of not as closely as maybe the last few years, but they've always been, you know, part of Arsenal. You know, I've followed the men's team around a lot, and the women's team have been a big part of that as well in recent years. And I think it's just grown massively, hasn't it? The standard of football.
The standard of football is absolutely outstanding. I mean, when I have conversations with, you know, other people who quite frankly, I don't want to use the wrong term, but just they lack the education in what women's football actually offers.
Hmm.
And you get comments like, oh, they don't play as well. The fact of the matter is, if you just take the women's football and you stick them in the big glitzy stadium with all the buzzing lights and all the TV, you will see far higher quality football than you do across the men's. I mean, when you see shots that Jordan Nobbs takes from outside the box, I mean, it's just stunning. I mean, Katie McCabe's free kicks, you just cannot beat that kind of quality. I mean, you know, as an Arsenal fan, loving the men's team as well, you just beg for that quality.
We will at the moment, certainly. I mean, you know, we were just saying before, you know, we don't have a lot to cheer with the men's side of things recently, but the women have certainly filled that void, if you like, for many of us, which has been great. And I agree. I mean, some of the quality of the football now is unbelievable. And I think sometimes it's maybe wrong to compare the men's game and the women's game because it's completely different. And it's, you know, and I think too many people maybe look at the men's game and think, oh, you know, it's a lot faster, it's a lot more physical. And the women's game is a completely different game, isn't it? They're not rolling around pretending to be injured.
Anything.
Yeah. No, it's more real for me. It's more like football used to be. It's a throwback a little bit, which I enjoy, actually. And that's one of the great things. I mean, what I really wanted to do is start off perhaps by looking at this dude, actually. Obviously, it's all changed at the Arsenal women this season, isn't it? New coach, a lot of new players. We'll come on to them as well a bit later. I mean, Andreas, if we start with you, what do you make of the new coach? Did you know much about him before he joined Arsenal, and what are you kind of expecting from him this season?
No, I have to confess that I haven't heard about him before, but I think it was time for a change. And so far, what I saw and what I read about Jonas, I think we can have very high expectations. He prefers the pressing. And one of the first things he said in the interview was, we must start winning the big games. We must be competitive in the big games against Chelsea, Man City, which we all lost in the last years. And we have to adapt and press higher. And this is a high expectation I have on him. And he's very loud, as we heard, on the sidelines, while Joe was silent, only sitting on the bench. So, yeah, let's see how other players adapt to his style. But I think we can expect a lot from him.
Yeah, I mean, the early signs have certainly been promising, haven't they? He's sort of spoken well. He's come across well. And like you said, he seems to want to, and you can see from some of the games, a high press and winning the ball back early, high up the pitch, which has been good. I say maybe a slightly different style to what we were used to. I mean, Matt, did you know much about Jonas before he joined us, or was you not really aware of him much?
No, not at all. And this is one of the beautiful things about women's football, is you could basically have someone you've never heard of before, almost like a throwback to when Arsene Wenger joined Arsenal. Yeah. It's almost like, who are you? What are you going to bring to them? How are you going to change them? And it's almost like we've got that Arsenal DNA already in the club with the women's, and he's just taken it a little bit more forward, more of, like Andreas was saying, there's more pressing, And it's been a joy to watch, because especially with some of the youth players coming through, that was brilliant. I know we're probably going to talk about that later as well.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, and it has been a big change and maybe a breath of fresh air. And I think I agree with what Andrea said before about it was maybe time for a change, wasn't it? You know, I think we'd maybe gone a little bit stale under Joe, as great as he was, of great success he brought us. But I feel we had maybe gone a little bit stale. I mean, Harry, did you know too much about Jonas before, or is he a new name to you as well?
He was somebody the name rang a bell. Because it's not so much that I follow Rosengard, but I know people who follow Rosengard, and I sort of heard the name whispered around. Mm-hmm. And I know Rosengard's a phenomenal team in Sweden, So I sort of recognize him, but I really didn't understand his reputation or what he brings to the table. And like Andresa just said, when you actually read what he wants and what he wants to achieve, I mean, that high press. To be honest, last season, it was the one thing we couldn't cope with, the high press from Man United, the high press from Chelsea, was that was what we were struggling with. So to stop playing out the back all the time and push forward. And I think what he's done in terms of building the team, the way he's developed that midfield, I mean, what Ibuichi's done in just the last couple of games. I mean, and I think was it he who said it, or was it the assistant coach who said, she's only been here for a couple of weeks. Just think of the prospects of the future. I mean, it's phenomenal.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, we'll come on to the new signings actually in a minute as well. We'll talk about some of them, because it's been a good summer really for the women's team. I mean, you know, it's looking certainly promising with the new coaches. Like you said, some of the things he said are making us quite excited about what this season might bring and going forward. I hadn't really heard of him much before at all. Obviously, when Joe left at the end of last season, I was quite anxious to see who was going to come in and take the job on. It's a big job, Arsenal Women. It always has been, you know, the biggest club in the women's game, pretty much in England, certainly. So always going to be a big job. And, you know, I still don't know much about him other than what we've heard since he's been at the club, but it's certainly promising for me, and I'm looking forward to seeing how the team progresses this season actually under him and see the differences in the style of play and stuff like that. But it's certainly looking as though it could be good. And of course, along with a new coach, also we've had some very good new players as well. So there's a picture there, obviously, of five new signings that we've brought in. Of course, one of them very, very recently, only yesterday, of course, Tobin Heath joined. But there was obviously a few before that as well. I'm quite excited about some of these players playing for Arsenal, actually. Some big names in the women's game as well. I mean, Andreas, what have you made of the signings there? You must be quite excited by some of them.
Yeah, I think we had a really great transfer window. And where to start with? Tobin Heath is fantastic signing yesterday, but also... Yes. Mana Ibabushi had great games so far, and Frida Manum, I think she's a very, very talented player. And as I heard, whole Europe was behind her and was trying to get her. She's 23 years old, but already experienced Norwegian national team. And one signing who is totally underrated, I think, is Simone Boye-Sørensen. I know her from Bayern Munich. As I said, I'm German, and I saw her playing at Bayern Munich. She had some injuries and not enough playing time, but every time she was on the pitch, every time she was in the starting 11, she made a solid job, and she's a really good defender, and I think we will be surprised by her. She will fit in very good, and Jonas didn't sign the 20-year-old defender if he was not convinced from her. And I think she'll have a great influence in the defense. Great signings, great transfer window. I think we can expect a lot from every new player. I forgot Nikita Paris. She's a great striker, and in combination with Viv and now Tobin Heath, our attack is fantastic.
You know, it is. I mean, the defender you mentioned there, obviously, Boy, is not someone I've really known much about before, actually. Obviously, I've heard of all the other signings that we've made. It's interesting that you say that, you know, she's going to be a good prospect, and she's certainly done quite well in the game so far when she played. She looks comfortable with the ball and stuff like that, which has been good to see. So I think she's quite versatile as a defender, because she seems to be able to play right back as well as centre back as well. Is that sort of?
No, she's a centre back.
Oh, she's a centre back, because I think she played right back in one game, or she moved over to play right back later on in the game, one of the pre-season games, I think it might have been. But no, she looks a decent player. I mean, are you kind of quite excited, Matt, about these signings? Because there's some real good quality players we've brought in, haven't we?
You go first, Matt.
All right. And I was just going to say, I did have a bit of questions when Tobin Heath was announced, just because we've got so many decent strikers now. I know Paris can play also as a winger, but it's a bit concerning that you're bringing in another striker. But I suppose it's also sort of to teach Miedemar a little bit more so that she can handle, although Miedemar's got a good record already. She was quite impressive. Priya Marum as well, brilliant player. She seems to be a very all-rounder, which I quite like to see. It was quite a huge loss to lose two of those big Dutch players that we all enjoyed seeing play. So it might be quite nice to see them playing. You can go, Harry.
Yeah, no, I mean, you made some good points. I mean, obviously, we are going to miss the Dutch players, aren't we? Especially Van der Donk. I think we'll all miss her. Great player that she was over a few years for us. So that's. But I suppose, you know, football's like, isn't it? Unfortunately, players move on, new players come in, and it's a new start for everybody, really. I mean, Harry, what have you made of the new signings in? I say there's some really, really good quality players we've brought in. Which one are you maybe most excited about seeing?
Well, this is a huge question, because you know, it's just got suddenly very exciting. So, I mean, I don't know if I'm allowed to say this stuff, but I've seen a lot of negativity on some of the signings on social media, which I feel is really disappointing, because I'm really excited by it. And I think Nikita Paris and Tobin Heath, Tobin Heath being announced yesterday, I think was really, really good news, because that high press that we want to do, you know, you can't rely on Miedema all the time. She's going to get either worn out or tired or injured, and more worryingly injured. And this allows us to have that diversity in that front three, you know, that it just means that we have more to rely on. We needed that, because we had a lot of injuries last year, and we had some, you know, Lisa Evans was injured most of the season. I mean, she's a phenomenal striker. I think this adds depth to the squad. Manu Iwawuchi has done is, I mean, she has really replaced DVD a lot, I think. I was really sad to see Daniela Van der Donk go, because she's one of my favourites. She's like a little Duracell bunny off the pitch. She's a brilliant character. So there's a lot to love about her. And I think Mana has come in and just fitted in really nicely. I mean, she holds that midfield. I think some of the academy players that have come through as well. I don't know if we're going to talk about that today, but I think some of them are, I mean, really exciting, you know, Taya Goldie, you know, really exciting stuff. So I think I said excited a lot of times now. I'm very excited about our signings. I think they're really good choices. I think it adds depth to the squad. It means that we can change tactics, because everyone knows Miedemar's a close-in striker. So they know what she's going to do. I mean, she's brilliant at what she does, but you know that she's a close-in striker. So having somebody else is going to shoot from a different spot and do something different, it's going to confuse the competition.
That as well. Sorry, Richard. Puts me at ease a little bit. Just, I might, because I've had these sort of worries about Tobin Heath coming in. Now that Harry's just said that, that makes me feel a little bit better, and knowing that there's a little bit more competition, maybe it stops the doubters.
Exactly. And you know, you can never, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I mean, it is goals that win football matches, and the more options that you've got, the more goals you've got in your squad, the better it is. I mean, you know, in certain games, I'm sure Tobin Heath is going to come on as a substitute maybe in the last 15 minutes or so and probably help create a goal or score a goal and help us out then as well. You know, she'll probably start some games as well. But we've got that option now. We've got a lot of options, certainly in the attacking side. I mean, I'm still not 100% convinced about our defence overall, if I'm honest. I don't know what you guys feel defensively. I know we had a lot of clean sheets at the end of last season, but we seem to have a mistake or two in us, don't we? Quite often, and that's a little bit of a worry. I know we bought Boye, as Andreas mentioned as well, to strengthen the defence, but I still feel that's maybe a slight weak area. Do you kind of agree with that, Andreas, or do you think we'll be okay defensively?
I think we were missing Jen for a lot of matches last season, so she's back now, and we get Steph Catley back. She nearly missed the whole season, so it's like a new signing, and Steph Catley is one of the best players on her side. So our defense will be stronger. And I think maybe it could be a problem that we don't have a backup for Leah Walty. Maybe Leah Williamson will have to play there because Malin Good is injured for probably the whole season. Or Frida Manum has to play more defensive part. But our attack is so strong. And last season, we had the problem that the opponents could concentrate on Viv. Everybody knew she's the one who is dangerous. But now they can't concentrate on Viv. There is also Tobin, there's Caitlin, there's Nikita, there's Mana. We have much more options. And we can rotate. We can give the players some time to relax. And don't forget that if we qualify for the group stage Champions League, and we all hope that they will do, it's from mid of October till mid of December, six matches in Champions League on Wednesdays or Thursdays. And you can't do this with a small squad that Joe had. We need this deep, strong squad with a lot of quality players. It's Champions League, it's FA Cup, two FA Cups.
That's right. Because, of course, last season's one's been held over the first season. You're right, two FA Cups, and more games.
So it will be a lot of games in 3 months, so we need all these players and hopefully a season with less injuries.
Yeah, I mean, last season we did suffer, as you said, we lost some big players for most of last season, didn't we? And we had to kind of get through it. And we struggled a little bit in the middle of the season as a result of that, didn't we? You know, you could see the difference when we got a few players back fit again later on in the season. So, that's going to be, it's a good point about the FA Cup because, there's two FA Cup competitions to finish, which is probably unheard of, actually, isn't it, ever in football history? Probably playing two seasons worth of FA Cups in the same season. And, you know, we've got a chance of winning at least one of them, let's hope. I mean, that'd be good, wouldn't it? Imagine winning two FA Cups in the same season. That'd be great, wouldn't it? But let's not be greedy. Let's at least try and win one of them if we can. But, I mean, it's... I think the squad depth is important, and I think we've improved that this season. It's just a shame that Jordan Nobbs got injured in pre-season, wasn't it? Because, you know, she's still a big player for us, and she would have added a little bit of extra depth, and she's going to be out for quite a while as well by the look of it, which is a shame because she's only just come back from a previous injury as well, didn't she, which she was out for nearly a year. So it's a shame she's got injured again. But, we have got more options now. We've got a bigger squad, and I think that, as you say, with the Champions League, should we finish the job off, we're going to need to rotate the squad, aren't we? And we've certainly now got options, and that's a big positive, isn't it? And let's hope that works out well. I mean, talking of the Champions League, actually, why don't we have a quick look back on Tuesday night? I mean, we sort of got the job done 3-0 in the first legs, probably a decent result. No away goals conceded, and they didn't offer enough of a threat for me that they're going to score three or four in the second leg. But I was slightly disappointed that we didn't maybe really kill it off and score a few more goals. I know that we've maybe they're trying to gel together, aren't they, the attacking players and at the moment a little bit. And I felt as though maybe we didn't take as many opportunities as we perhaps could have done. I mean, were you fairly satisfied with the performance, Andreas, the other night? Obviously, a good result, I suppose, in the end, 3-0.
The result is okay. But to be honest, I expected a few more goals too.
And
so it's not done. The job is not done. And the problem is we are playing Chelsea on Sunday. And then 4 days later, we have to travel to Prague. And then 2-3 days later, the next match. So, it's not done, and we have to be concentrated. We have to play with our best team there. But normally, we should do it. I don't think that that we can't score there. We will score one or two goals in Prague, and they won't score five or six goals against us. I don't think so. So
yeah,
I'm optimistic.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't think they offered on Tuesday night. They caused us a few problems here and there. Some problems we caused ourselves at times defensively, but they never looked to me as though they're going to score two or three goals over there, I don't think. But each game is different, and it's still, like you said, I agree, there's still a job to do. If we'd scored four or five or six the other night, it would have been game over. We could have relaxed, maybe took a younger squad out there, and now we've got to maybe go with a stronger team. I mean, what did you make of it, Matt, the other night on Tuesday, the performance and the result overall?
I thought it was a good game. Yeah, I know over pre-season we've had some issues with defending. We've let them score one or two. It's usually the one. But we've been fine and we stuck with it. I thought we had one eye on the Chelsea game, which is probably why we rotated the squad a little bit, so that we had some sort of break, which I was a bit surprised that Miedema wasn't starting. But then I realised that might be one of the reasons why. So it was quite nice as well, because we got to see more of some of these players that maybe would have been stuck on the bench if we weren't playing in the league game on Sunday.
Yeah, no, you're probably right. And I mean, I must admit, eyebrows were raised a little bit when Miedema was on the bench to start the game. But you're right, obviously, with the Chelsea game coming up, which we'll talk about as well, I guess that was probably a good decision maybe to... She maybe looked like she might be carrying a bit of an injury, actually, to me, a bit worryingly, during the game. And that's a bit of a concern. But she obviously got through and scored a great goal. I mean, Harry, what did you make of it on Tuesday? Do you think that maybe... Are you feeling a little bit we could have maybe should have scored a few more goals and finished it off completely?
I think you know what I think the trouble is that we're so spoilt from what did we beat them last season? Was it 12-0 or 12-1 or something?
I think it was 8-0 at home and 5-2 away, or something.
Yeah, it was like
13-2.
I mean, it's just unreal. Look at watching the game, we should have really been 5 or 6 up, and you know, but 3 is a really good score. I think, like Matt just said, we had to rotate the team. We had one eye on the game on Sunday, and I think that's the right thing to do. And I think this is where the depth of the squad. I mean, now we're coming in with Tobin Heath, who's a phenomenal player. And the thing is about these Americans is that they're really seasoned. They really know how to win. So they've got a completely different mentality to what, you know, they've just grown with it for so long. So I think going into Prague next week, I don't think we're going to have too much trouble. Do we have issues at the back? I'm not sure, and I'm really kind to the players, because I hate to say sort of be critical of the players in any way, and I probably should be more open on that. I think Manu as a goalkeeper can make mistakes. You know, she's very good with her feet, but she can lose concentration. But I have to say, I think between Leah, Lotta on the back line, you've got a wall there. I think Leah Walty is probably the best CDM in the world. I think is Noelle Moritz she's a really strong player. I mean, she's a really feisty player, but she'll also get the ball forward as well. I think you'll see that. I mean, even I think Lotta scored last season with a wonderful header. You've got these players who can create chances and take chances. And as a back line, I think we'll be safe with that depth that we've got now.
Yeah, I mean, I just think there has been sort of so far, maybe in pre-season, maybe one or two mistakes by one or two of the players, which has been a little bit worrying. But I suppose that's what this part of the season's for, get them out of the way there, work on certain things and improve when it matters, really. And I suppose the other night did matter, but, you know, we were pretty comfortable for most of that game, wasn't we? I agree, we should maybe have scored 5 or 6 goals with the possession that we had. We didn't create enough chances, really, for me, though, on the night, did we? You know, we had a lot of the ball and dominated the possession of it, but we only really created maybe 5 or 6 good chances, didn't we, really? We took 3 of them, which was good. The early goal helped. And then, I don't know, I was a little bit frustrated at the end that we hadn't won by a couple more goals. But I agree with what you just said, really. I can't see us having major problems over there. Maybe if they get an early goal, it might get a bit nervy for a while, perhaps. But they lacked enough quality in the final third to really give us too much to worry about. And if we concentrate well, as you said, like on Thursday, defend properly, I can't see any way back for them. And I do feel that with the attacking players we've got, we will pick them off on the counter attack and probably get another two or three goals, hopefully, and enjoy a good victory. But of course, before the second leg, we've got a rather important game, haven't we, coming up on Sunday. So couldn't be a much more difficult opening game for us. We've not beaten Chelsea, have we, for I think is it seven or eight games that we've played against them in all competitions since that 5-0 victory that we had a few years ago, which was great. But yeah, they seem to have a little bit of a sign over us, don't they? We can't seem to get a result. And if you remember the home game against them last season, they equalised with an own goal, didn't they, in the final second of stoppage time. We just scored ourselves, and they hadn't lost at that point. They hadn't lost for about 30 odd games, and we almost got their record, but they did scrape a lucky equaliser. So we don't seem to have a lot of luck against them. And if you remember the League Cup final the season before, when again they scored in the last minute, didn't they, when we dominated that game. So I don't know what to make of this one. Obviously, we've got coming in, but Chelsea are going to be strong again, aren't they? I mean, Andreas, what are you anticipating from this game? Do you think we can get off to a good start?
We couldn't have a more difficult game than versus Chelsea. They are the defending champions, and they really played a great season. And this is a huge task for us, but good for us is we already played competitive matches with the Champions League. Three matches, and Chelsea only had friendlies. And I heard that Sam Kerr only returned last week, so she was not in training for very long. So and they haven't found their rhythm, I think. So this could be a plus for us, but it's the biggest game for us. No more. It couldn't be difficult, more difficult than Chelsea. They have fantastic attacking line with Kirby Kerr, England, the midfield with G, Leupolz, and the goalkeeper. This is Anne-Catherine Berger. For me, she was the best goalkeeper in the world in the last season. And that's a point. I don't see Manu Zinsberger as a goalkeeper who could make the difference in such a game. She's always good for a silly mistake. She's good in one-on-one. She's a penalty killer. She's good at her feet. But sometimes she makes just silly mistakes. So yeah, it will be difficult, and we have to score. I don't think it will end with a nil-nil. We have to score, otherwise we will lose. But it's a home match, and it's the first match of the season. So, yeah. They will try everything. I hope that at least a draw, but I hope we'll win 2-1.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think we're all hoping that we can win. But yeah, I agree. It couldn't have been a more difficult start other than, I suppose, playing them away from home. And it is at the Emirates, and hopefully there might be a half-decent crowd in as well for the game. Cheap tickets are there as well, so that might help as well. I mean, so usually we play them, obviously, at Boreham Wood, so a bigger pitch. I don't know whether, obviously, we did play them, actually, didn't we, at the Emirates in pre-season? I know we won, although that was a largely youth team for both sides in the second half, wasn't it? So I don't think we can read too much into that particularly, but it was not always nice to beat Chelsea because it doesn't happen very often. I mean, Matt, what are your kind of thoughts on Sunday's game? Are you fairly confident that we can get something, or do you think that it's just going to be, as Andreas rightly says, probably the toughest game of the season?
I think playing Chelsea as it is now, because over the past couple of years, they've shown a little bit more tendency to go, oh, the women's team needs moving on. Emma Hayes is brilliant. She does binderful of tactics and research on the teams. When she was doing the Euros, I think that was an Instagram post, and she was showing one of the pundits her binderful of notes. So you know what you're getting with her. It'll be an interesting one. Like you said, it's at the Emirates. The women haven't played there a lot, so it'll be quite an interesting one. But it's also one that's going to be on Sky as well, so it'll be quite interesting to see how the response is to that, because it's more open. It's not just on BBC anymore. It's going to be, well, you hope it's going to be a bit huger now. And cheap tickets, so people are probably going to be wanting to go to the game. The only issue is that England are playing on the same day, a bit later on. So hopefully we get at least half stadium. You never know if the atmosphere is good inside the grounds. Hopefully get a win, and maybe that win against the them in that mind, is it the Mind Cup that we played in?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Maybe that might be the tipping balance, just to get that added boost of confidence. It would do them quite good if we could get a few goals in there as well, but you never know with these sort of games.
No, I mean, it's. I mean, every time we play Chelsea, or it seems quite often, we're a better team. We dominate the game and still can't beat them for whatever reason. They sneak a goal somewhere along the line, don't they? And that kind of worries me a little bit. But I think maybe in our favour, the fact I'm assuming that we would have trained on the Emirates pitch this week to get used to it. And obviously, Chelsea wouldn't. You know, they're not used to playing on that pitch because they normally play us obviously at Boreham Wood. So that might possibly go in our favour. The crowd, as we've said, as well, possibly will. We'll have to wait and see. I mean, Harry, what are you kind of, what's your expectations for Sunday? Are you confident? Obviously, first game of the season. I thought Andrew's made a good point, actually, about the fact we've played some competitive games and no one else has. Chelsea haven't. I mean, I know Man City played one the other night as well, but you know, Chelsea haven't. So do you think that's going to be an advantage for us? I know the opposition hasn't been great that we've played generally, but do you think that might help us?
Okay, so here's the thing with Chelsea, I suppose we are live. Everyone can hear what we're saying, right? Mm-hmm. I live 5 minutes from King's Meadow.
Wow.
And we've got a policy, and we drive past it a lot. Every time we drive past it, I slow down the car, the kids turn and go, "Boo Chelsea." Here's what we do. One of the first games we went to wasn't the first, like the third game we went to or fourth game we went to was when we lost 4-1 to Chelsea at Boreham Wood. And Beth scored that lovely goal, which just filled our hearts. But it was it was tough to watch. So this one's close to my heart. I'm going to be there on Sunday. The kids are going to be there. We absolutely cannot wait. I think the big difference here is that Chelsea's our nemesis. We've always felt, we can't beat Chelsea. And that is with Joe. Now we've got Jonas, and I think the mindset's going to shift. Because every single time we play Chelsea, every single game preceding, we've got tactic. We've got a system. We play it. We've got the same squad, and it goes, and it's worked perfectly, and we win. We go to Chelsea. Joe used to change everything. Completely different setup, different squad, more in the back, not enough in the front, and it's all defensive, and it doesn't work. I think that we're going to see a really high press. I think Jonas is going to change our mentality, and we're going to push. We can swap players around. We've got really good wingers. I think we're going to win this. I'm predicting a 2-0 or a 2-1. I agree with that, Andreas, about Manu can sometimes lose concentration and a goal can get snuck in. But I think we're going in with a different mentality. We beat them already once. I know it's a different, like a slightly different scale down squad. But the fact is we beat them once already. It's on our home turf. We're going to be there. We're going to be shouting out loud. We're going to win.
Well, I mean, you're very confident, and I like that. Let's hope that confidence goes across to the players as well, because I think we need to be. And we've got a couple of people in the comments. Ryan, from the Mr. Arsenal podcast says, "Evening, everyone. How are you doing, Ryan? Thanks for tuning in." And we've got Bazza from the World of Sport TV. He says, "All right, guys." And then he says, "If Chelsea turn up, you guys are in trouble." Yeah, possibly. But, you know, if we turn up, they might be in trouble. We've got to look at it like that, you know, because we have, as we've sort of mentioned earlier, we have now got a very good squad, and we've got a new coach. And, you know, I think you're probably right then, Harry, actually. Maybe we did go into a lot of them Chelsea games with a little bit of fear in the way that we set the team up for those games. And maybe that might explain some of the poor results. You may well be right about that.
You know what? You could see it, because we'd pull back. We'd have a very defensive squad. And like you said, their goalkeeper's phenomenal. So if you haven't got a really powerful strike force with chance after chance after chance, she's going to save everything. So what you've got to do is hit her with everything. You've got to just hit her with every single possible chance that you got. So if you've got Nikita Paris and you've got Vivian Miedema right there, and you've got Iwobi pushing forward, and you've got goals coming at all directions, one of them to go in. And that's all you need.
We have to dominate
the high press. Am I right?
Yeah, we have to dominate the game. We have to act. And the last matches under Joe, the big matches, we were reacting.
And we were reacting, yeah.
In his press conferences, he always said, we expected the Chelsea or Man City to play like this. And then our plan was to react. So, no, not react, but act. And we're playing at home. We have to dominate. And that will be our chance. We have a wonderful attacking squad. So we must dominate the game. And I'm really convinced that Jonas will tell the girls to dominate, to act, and to press high and not wait what Chelsea is doing.
Let's hope so. Yeah, I mean,
agree with that.
He certainly seems that he's that type of coach, isn't he? He's going to put us on the front foot and go at them. And let's hope that we do, because if we do that, we've got a good chance. I mean, what I want to do actually is maybe if all of us can maybe run through what we think the starting lineup might be. I know it's a little bit difficult to predict for the first game, but I mean, Andreas, what would you say? What would be your starting 11 for this game if you was manager?
Starting 11? Oh, very difficult. Maybe I would prefer Lydia in goal, and then Noel, Leo, Lotta or Simone, and Steph Catley in the defense, and Leah Walty as number 6. Yeah, Kim Little, of course. Mana Iwabuchi, Viv, of course. And then Katelyn was starting, yes.
Okay, no, I mean, that would be a good sign. I mean, it just shows, isn't it, when you think about it, there's so many options, it's actually difficult to pick a Lexi 11, isn't it? Because there's so many good players. I mean, Matt, would you go much different to that? Is anything different that you would start with?
No, I don't really think, well, to be honest, I'm still trying to remember who's in the squad. This is the problem I have, is I'm trying to just remember everyone's names. There's probably names out there that, like, you could go 4-3-3 with Viv up top and Beth and Nikita in as the wide players. You might have Frieda as the defensive midfielder and Kim Little and Katie McCabb in the middle. I think that's kind of the good thing that we've got, which is we've got so much variety in players that can play in these sort of positions. It makes it even better. And I think maybe just bringing back a little bit, might be getting a bit lucky on the set pieces a little bit more as well, because the Emirates is such a big pitch.
Yeah,
might need to use that and make sure it's there for the taking.
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously any free kicks or anything around the box, Katie McCabe's delivery is usually extremely good, and you know, we need to maybe make the most of those opportunities, don't we, if they come along? And I think that could be quite important. We've got Daniel, Daniel Harris in the chat there. He says the new American signing will boost everything. Yeah, unfortunately, she can't play on Sunday because of registration issues and stuff like that, which is a shame, because it would have been nice for her to have played. I mean, Harry, what would be your starting 11? Would you make a few changes to what we've said already, or would you pretty much think that's going to be what it will be? I mean, defensively, we've got a few options there as well, haven't we?
Yeah, you know what? So defensively, I don't think it's an Arsenal team without Leah Williamson at the back. No. I think Lotta Wubben-Moy needs to be there. Jen Beattie. I think Taya Goldie is a force to be reckoned with. You need Kim Little. You wouldn't have a starting lineup without Kim Little. I mean, you know, no. Captain Little. You know, that's a must. Katie McCabe to me is a staple. Because she will defend and she'll bring the ball forward and she'll take those shots. You need that. I mean, it's a shame Jordan Nobbs is injured, because that's another one who I'd want in the middle. Mani Iwabuchi, I think she's a little rocket. So I'm really excited to see what she's going to do. I think in the front, nobody's mentioned Beth Mead. I really like Beth Mead on the wing, on the front wing. I think she can put the balls in really nicely. It's like a combination of Leah Williamson's long balls that you rely on, and Beth to deliver them into the box. Viv and Nikita Paris, I think you've got some really good options there.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it was a long ball. Actually, Beth Mead did the other night for that third goal. That was almost like a Leah Williamson ball, wasn't it? Over the top for Viv to score. So that was a good goal, actually. But yeah, I mean, there are a lot of options. I mean, I actually quite like, and I know she's good going forward, but I quite like Katie McCabe at left back, actually. You know, she played a lot left back last season, didn't she? And I thought she did pretty well. And then it does then leave maybe options at the front. You could have Beth Mead and Nikita Parrish playing wider. Viv, couldn't you? Or, you know, Caitlin Ford could be in there as well. So there are a lot of options. It's quite exciting to, when you think about the team that could play on Sunday, it is quite exciting to think of all the different options that there are. And but I think that, yeah, Kim Little's almost guaranteed to start. Leah Williamson should start. Good sort of core there. I mean, if Viv's fit, you'd imagine she'll start. And I think Manor as well has probably got to start with how she's played. So, and then build the rest of the team around those guys, really, for me. And then we've got enough quality there, haven't we, to, you know, a few good players on the bench as well to come on, hopefully not necessarily to get goals, but come on anyway and maybe seal the game for us. Daniel in the chat there says, great to see Kim retire from international football. Gives us a fit master in middle for a season that could well end with a title. Well, yeah, I mean, it's going to keep her a bit fresher, isn't it? And as we touched on before, with all the Champions League, the two FA Cups, a lot of games for Arsenal this season. So it's probably good that she has retired from the international football, actually.
I think it's one step closer to retiring with Arsenal, which is a bit of that would be a sad day.
Yes, it will. But I'm sure she's got another year or two left in her, hasn't she? I think, let's hope so. Yeah, and maybe that's why perhaps retirement from international football might extend her Arsenal career a little bit longer, maybe. Give her a bit of extra rest and stuff like that. Let's hope so. Because
you mentioned Caitlin Ford as well. I think, I kind of forget about Caitlin Ford. I mean, she brings that pace to the team. She brings that extraordinary pace and she runs it like a little bunny rabbit. It's brilliant. That's the sort of thing that we can, depending what's happening in the game, you can bring her in. It changes the dynamics of the game entirely.
Yeah, it does. I mean, she's quite a physical player as well, isn't she, Caitlin Ford? She's strong. She can hold the ball up and she can win it back. And she maybe fits quite well with what Jonas wants it from the team anyway, because she's going to try and win the ball back high up the pitch, isn't she? Anyway, that's her natural style. So I think that we could see some good things possibly like from her this season as well. I think that could be pretty exciting as well. And another, like I said, another option, even if she's on the bench, can come on and cause a few problems later on in the game, you know, for the Chelsea defence. But yeah, I mean, it's a shame we have to play Chelsea so early. And of course, it's Manchester City in game three as well, isn't it? So we've got to play both of them quite early in the season, really, which is, I suppose it might give us a bit more of an idea of where we are in terms of competing against those two teams, because that's the benchmark, isn't it, for where we want to be. I mean, I kind of want to ask you guys really what your kind of expectations are. I know it's maybe early days with the new coach and some of the new players, but when you look at the transfer window that we've had, when we look at what Jonas has been trying to do, when we look at the games we've played, what are your realistic expectations for the season, Andreas? If we start with you, what do you think realistically we can achieve this season? What are you expecting that we can do?
I think we will compete for the title against Chelsea. It will be between Chelsea and us. I think these two teams will be a little bit ahead, and Man City maybe only on third position, and then Everton, Man United. And we have all chances in the cup competitions. We're playing against Spurs in the old FA Cup. So normally we should reach the next round. And yeah. So at least I think it's possible to win at least one title. And let's see. We have to reach the group stage of Champions League. There's still one match to go. But then this will be important for us to be competitive in Champions League too. We have a deep squad. We have fantastic players, quality players. But there are a lot of contracts that running out at the end of the season. So if we don't compete for titles, if we are out in Champions League too early, then I don't think there will be a chance to keep with or other players' contracts that are extending. But my expectation is that we can compete for titles, and maybe one or two title can be won. At least we have a strong bench this year.
If we don't
get too much injuries, then we have a really strong bench. And this was one point we were missing under Joe. I remember that we had on the bench two goalkeepers and two or three academy players, and that's all.
Last season we did struggle, didn't we? Yeah, we did. There was a spell in the season where we really struggled. to get enough players to fill the bench. So this season, we don't look as though we're going to have the same issues there, which is good, and the quality that we've got coming in. I mean, Matt, what are your kind of expectations for the season? I mean, I know we'll have to wait and see how all these new players fit in, but the early signs are promising, certainly, aren't they?
Yeah, I think when we signed Manna quite early on, she was with, I believe Andreas has already mentioned that, she was with Viv and Lisa over in Bayern Munich. So that's kind of helped a little bit. But I'm hoping that we're going to push more for the league. I think it was something like 8 or 9 points that we were off the top by. So if we can start off by winning these games, especially against the top two of City and Chelsea this early on, that's a good sign. They also drew their game against, was it Atletico? On Wednesday. So they're not fully fit, so that might be an interesting one. We've also got the, as Andreas also said about the FA Cups, and we've also got the League Cup to worry about as well. So I'd like to see a trophy coming back. But as long as we can make some sort of way in the Champions League, we only got to the quarterfinals last time. If we can go maybe a step further, so show some ambition, perhaps some of these players, as Andreas might say, we might be able to keep hold of them and say, look, we're going forward. We want to build on this team, keep going forward with it. And hopefully that might be a good indication as well with some of these youngsters coming through. Lotta's still quite young. Ruben Messi has gone to Man City. I've nearly said that one. I'm trying to think of the other one. Anna Patton was the other one I was thinking of. So hopefully some of these youngsters keep going, like Goldie, and that will be a good sign, a telling sign. As long as we can keep up with the top two, maybe push the gaps. If we can get a title, that's a bonus.
Yeah, no, I agree. Obviously, Daniel there in the chat sort of said what you were saying there. The team can win the title. It's the games between Arsenal, City and Chelsea. Yeah, Everton may upset the cut. Yeah, Everton look as though they've got a decent squad as well. But yeah, I mean, like you said, we were 9 points or whatever it was off the title last year. And ultimately, that came down to the games against Chelsea and City as much as anything, didn't it? If we'd managed to pick up results against them, I think we got 1 point, didn't we, in those games put together. So that's not enough, is it? And if this season, if we can get 6 or 7 points from them games, then that's going to put us in a really stronger position. I mean, Harry, what are you kind of... I know you think we're going to beat Chelsea, which would be a good start. Do you think we can go all the way maybe and win the title and maybe one or two other things as well?
Yeah, good question. I'm really with Andreas on this and, trying to put my reality hat on. I think we have a good chance to compete for the title and hit by the one, of, you know, place one or second. It's going to be either us or Chelsea, let's face it. I think to beat Chelsea at home is a really tough call. If we could create a win and create a draw at their home, that's a big thing. But I agree. I mean, the worry for me is exactly what Andrea said, is that keeping the quality that we need, keeping Viv especially, we need to win trophies. We need to really compete. We need to show that we can get to the Champions League semis or even Champions League finals. I think it can be done. I think we've got the depth of squad to do that. Whether we can, I mean, I think FA Cup is, we can definitely do that. I think
one of them, at least one of them.
Yeah, at least one of them. We've got two shots. We've got the Champions League. In Europe, there's a lot of good teams out there. Barcelona and, you know, Lyon, they're looking very strong. But can we do it? It's a possibility, but end of the season, it's going to be between us and Chelsea. I think Man United have lost too many good players.
Yeah.
We've picked up Tobin Heath as a result. Christian Pressing isn't there anymore.
Lauren James.
Yeah. I mean, they've...
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think City
as well. And the manager
as
well, of course. The manager's gone as well, Man United. So.
Yes. Yeah, so all we need to do is pick up Jackie Roon and bring her across and we're good.
Yeah, no, that'd be good. We've got a comment in the chat there saying that we 100% should be going for the league title. I think we should be going for it, definitely. Improved depth of squad will help us and brilliant new players. Exactly. I mean, that's pretty much sums it up, doesn't it? That's where we are. And I know it's very early in the season, obviously, the first game to play Chelsea, but it maybe give us a little bit of a of a marker in terms of, I mean, what you mentioned before, Harry, about maybe previously we've gone into them games maybe to try not to lose as opposed to going to try and win them. And it'll be interesting to see how we approach their approach a lot of the games. I mean, in a way, maybe it's good that we played Chelsea and City quite early on, because if we were to get 4 or 6 points from those two games, then, well, we're in a really good position early on, aren't we? And then everybody's trying to catch up with us. And we do normally start the season well, don't we? I don't know what you guys think. I tended to, from what I've seen of the team so far this season, I know it's early days, but I felt as though, certainly under Joe, when we played the poorer teams, you kind of knew we were going to probably win 7 or 8 nil. And we did that quite often. Whereas with this team, you get more of the feeling that we may win those games 3 or 4 nil and not get as many goals as maybe we used to before for whatever reason. That's the feeling that I'm getting. Do you think that's probably fair, Andres? Or do you think maybe we will go out and still win a few games, 8 or 9 nil?
Yeah, the last two seasons, our problem was we were winning every match except the big matches.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and you only get 3 points. It doesn't matter whether you win 6 or 8 nil. It's only 3 points, even if you win 1 nil. So maybe this will change in the minds of the players. And yeah, but as we all said, the two matches, Chelsea, Man City, in the first 3 weeks, very important. And then we'll see where the way leads. But once again, Chelsea hasn't played a competitive match so far. That's our chance. And if we dominate the match, I think they will get problems because the defense is not the best. They are still missing Maren Mjelde and Annick Nguyen, new Dutch player. She's new. She hasn't played too much with Magda Eriksson together. So maybe this is our chance. We have to be aggressive. We have to dominate. And yeah, let's do this. Don't react. Just act.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, I think if we do go on the front foot against Chelsea, we will have a chance. And I say maybe, as we've mentioned, the fact that we have played competitive football already and they haven't, maybe in our favour. Like you said, we've got some new players as well. They've got some new players. And we know it's not going to be an easy game. But, you know, and I think Chelsea will probably be thinking the same. If they can get a win away at Arsenal, it's a great start for them, isn't it? It puts a marker down. Equally, if we can beat them for the first time in about 3 years, whenever the last time, 2 or 3 years, whenever we last beat them, it's been a while. That will lay down a marker for us as well. I mean, what I did want to do, actually, we kind of mentioned a little bit before about the sort of academy players that we've got. Obviously, there's some great players coming through. We did see it, didn't we, when we played Chelsea before, when they all came on in the second half and we managed to get the win. A few of the young players really did well, didn't they? I mean, Harry, is there anyone that you're expecting from that group to maybe force their way into the first team squad during this season? Or do you think maybe it's a bit early for them?
I think, if I'm being honest, it's a bit early. We've just moved some academy players into the main squad, and we've just increased that main squad. Like, we've just, that depth has grown. So I don't see any huge opportunities for the academy players. And I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing. I mean, like you pointed out, last season we were sitting there at one point with a goal, two goalkeepers and a bunch of academy players with no squad. And that's all changed because Joe, and he had good tactics, but Joe liked a really tight, small squad. Jonas seems to like a nice, big, deep squad, lots to choose from. I think that's going to be a big difference.
Yeah, let's hope so. But like you said, it may mean that some of the younger players don't get as many opportunities, although with lots more games. I mean, what are you thinking, Andres? Do you know much about some of these younger players? I know we did see a few against Chelsea before, didn't we?
I think the one who could make it in the team is Taya Goldie. For the others, it's a bit too early. But the problem is, when we qualify for the group stage of the Champions League, we don't have to play the Continental Cup group stage. So that's one chance for the young players, one chance less for them to get minutes.
Okay.
It will be very difficult for the academy players. Maybe Taya Goldie can make a few minutes, but But there is definitely talent in the academy players.
Yeah, no, it certainly looks that there is from what we've seen. I mean, I haven't seen a lot of them. That Chelsea game was an eye-opener when you saw how good some of those were. You're thinking, well, there's some quality talent coming through as well, which is great for the future. Whether they end up having to move on because they won't get opportunities, we'll have to wait and see. I mean, are you expecting any match to maybe break through this season? Obviously, Goldie's perhaps there, as we've said, is probably the main one. I mean, she's obviously played a few minutes in the first team before.
Yeah, I think it'll be... Even if they don't break through this season, it will be an eye-opener for them. It's a chance for them to learn. They're going to be with some internationals within the group who've got a huge range of experience. And it's going to help. I think Andreas and Harry both mentioned that Tobin Heath is very experienced as well. So even as a defender, knowing maybe how she's going to be acting, you could go up against someone like a Sam Kerr, for example, and you know, for instance, she's probably going to try and win the headers or she's going to go one way or the other. But it makes you think more as a defender. And that's things that will be good for the development. Even if they go on loan in the January window, it'll be good for them. But I'm not too sure if I could say for definite. The one issue I would probably have is in the Champions League, we could play Wolfsburg and Leon still, or even Bayern Munich. It's one of the other top teams that we might have to face. So I would just err on the side of caution not to use these sort of games as development, as some other managers have done in the past.
I mean, I think if we can obviously get through the group stage in the Champions League and get into the knockout stage, that's going to be good. Daniel's kind of a couple of names there. He says Daisy Ackerman and also, of course, Freya Yupp, of course, who scored the goal against Chelsea in that pre-season game. She had a really good impact in that game. So, I mean, there's a lot of great young talent coming through, which is good to see, because you know that the future of the club's going to be in good hands, or it certainly appears to be at the moment. And let's hope that we see a few more of them coming through over the next few years and getting into the first team and having a big impact in the way that that Leah Williamson's done, for example. You know, she's done so well. So we've got a history of it before bringing players through. So let's hope that continues, because things are certainly, you know, we're just about to start the new season. It's always a time of excitement. But I think for us, as you know, followers of the Arsenal women, I think we've got a right to be optimistic, haven't we, going into this season, and a right to feel, you know, that big things may be about to happen. Certainly, if Jonas can get this squad to gel, then I can see us having a really successful season. You know, can we win the title, league title? It's so tough, isn't it? You know, Chelsea are going to be tough again to beat, as I'm sure we'll see on Sunday. But that would be great, wouldn't it? So if we can get the title back. They took it from us, didn't they, last 2 years? That'd be nice to get it back again. And we've certainly got the squad to do it. It's just, I think the key games, as we've sort of mentioned, are how we get on in those big games against City and Chelsea. And if we can get a good couple of wins there against them two, then who knows? Especially if we do it at the start of the season, we would then be at the top, and everyone's going to have to try and catch us, which will be good if we win
on Sunday. It sets the tone. It just sets the tone. Yeah, it just tells us that we can win, and we can. And if there's any time to do it, it's Sunday. It's on our turf. It's on special turf. It's at the Emirates. I'm confident.
No, I mean, you're absolutely right. And if we are ever going to beat them, it's as good a time as any now, isn't it? In the circumstances that there is in this game, it could be a great time. It's not ideal to play them first game, probably, but in the overall scheme of things, it might not be a bad time to be playing them, actually. And yes, I think what was it Andrea said before about it's coming in between these two European games, and we didn't maybe quite finish it off, did we, properly on Tuesday? There's still a little doubt. I still think we'll do it. But yeah, maybe that hasn't maybe fell quite our way as it might have done. Just before we finish, just really want to get a score prediction from you all. Andreas, what are you going for on Sunday? What's your score prediction first for Sunday?
Oh, I already said 2-1 for us.
2-1 for us, right, fantastic. And what about the Thursday game in Prague?
We will win 3-1.
3-1. No, that'll be fine. That'll be a good result to actually get us through. And what about you, Matt? What are you going to go for Sunday? Do you think we might win, or are you going to be a little bit more cautious?
It's quite a dangerous thing for me to be predicting. The last time I did a predictor was for a Bergkamp Wonderland, and I said we were going to win 1-0, and it was 1-0 Villa. So I'll predict a 0-0 draw for the women on Sunday, but I think there's going to be an interesting clash.
No, it definitely will. What about Thursday? What do you think the score will be over in Prague?
Well, it's still got to be on the caution sort of side. But I think we'll win. I think it will be a 3 or 4-0. I think they'll be a bit cautious, and then they'll just throw it in for the last 20 minutes and get a couple more goals just to make it all secure.
Well, that sounds good to me. And I know, Harry, you sort of predict we're going to win on Sunday. You're still going to be confident?
Yeah, I think prediction for Sunday, I think it's going to be a tough game. I think that both teams are going to play with some level of caution. Although I think you're going to see two very, very vocal managers on the sidelines. I say 1-0 to Arsenal on Sunday. Brilliant. And 2-0 on Thursday in Prague.
I mean, that would be two fantastic results. And Daniel tends to agree. He's gone 2-1 on Sunday, and then he's gone 3-0 on Thursday. He says
Daniel Prague. Harry knows.
Yeah, well, let's hope he's right. I mean, I think Sunday is going to be a difficult one to predict, being so early in the season. I'm confident, I must admit, I think we can win, and I'm gonna say that we're gonna win because I want us to win desperately. So I'm gonna say 2-1. I do think Chelsea will score. I'm not sure if we had to keep them out for 90 minutes. I think they will score, but I think we've got enough firepower to get the win, and I think we'll win 2-1. I think in Prague should be fairly comfortable. I kind of quite agree with Andreas's 3-1. Actually, that sounds like a decent score. I think how that game might go. So I think it'll be two good wins this week. And set us up nicely for the rest of the season, won't it? Being in the Champions League group stage and hopefully somewhere near the top of the WSL as well, beating Chelsea. That would be a great first week of the season, wouldn't it? I think we'd all take that right now, wouldn't we? But, I mean, it's been brilliant, actually, with you guys on. I mean, I do want to do this show regularly throughout the season, every Friday in the lead up to a WSL game. And so I don't know if you guys are up for coming on again later on as we go through the season. Would that work for you guys? Andreas, do you fancy coming on again?
Yeah, I would love to be regularly in the show.
Brilliant. Yeah. We definitely sort that. Matt, yourself, would you be happy to come back on again?
Yeah, I'll be happy to come back again if you have me on.
No, of course. No problem at all. And Harry, you seem to enjoy yourself. You'd be happy to come back.
It's been great. It's been really fun. I'd love to come back. I can't promise to do regular stuff, but I'd definitely do as much as I can. And if any of you guys are there on Sunday, please come and say hi. It'd be great to meet you in person.
Oh, definitely. So I'm not there this week, unfortunately, but I will be at some games. I'm sure we can meet up at some point as well at the games. I mean, I'll be covering the game on the channel. I've been doing a few watch-alongs of the Arsenal women over the last couple of seasons anyway, so I'm going to continue doing that when I'm not there. So please stay tuned to the channel for that. If you do enjoy coverage of the Arsenal women, they deserve a lot more coverage, and I want to try and do that on the channel as much as I can as we go through the season, which I'm sure he's going to. I know we're all optimistic, we're all confident, we're going to certainly challenge for the title, at least, which I suppose is the minimum that we can hope for. And you never know, we may well end up getting that top spot at the end, which would be fantastic, wouldn't it? Which would be a great season, but a long way to go, of course. You know, does anybody know what the score of the Man United game is? Yeah, has anyone got any? Because they were, I think it'll be quite finished yet, will it? They'll still be playing, won't they?
Man United is leading 1-0 at half time.
Oh, it's half time 1-0. Oh, okay. Who scored? Do you know who scored?
Yes, Hansen scored.
Okay, well, there you go. So they're winning 1-0. So they'll be top of the league tonight, probably, if they can hold on to that. But we'll be top on Sunday when we beat Chelsea about 5-0, which I'm sure we will. But no, I just, I won, it'll do me. A 1-0 will do me. I'll be happy with that, to be honest. Just a win. Let's just win that game and it'll be fantastic. I say, I really lay out a marker, won't it, for the season? And it'll be really good. So, obviously, Harry, enjoy the game on Sunday. I'm sure you will. It's going to be a good experience being at, watching about the Emirates. Not often I get to play there. There's a few games this season, though, isn't there? Actually, just before we go, I wanted to talk about, obviously, Sky TV are taking over this season, aren't they, with the WSL. They're going to be covering it now. Do we think that that's going to be a positive for the women's game overall? Obviously, maybe a bit more money floating around as has happened in the men's game. I mean, Andreas, do you think the Sky deals is a good thing for women's football going forward?
This is a very important step. TV coverage and the chance for the girls to play in the big stadiums. This will also be a big chance. I'm from Germany, so I can only watch it on the FA player, I think. Currently it's due to travel restrictions due to COVID, it's not possible for me to come, but I hope that things will develop and I can be back at Boreham Wood pretty soon.
It's
live atmosphere. It's not the same watching on TV, but at least it's better on TV than only follow the results.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think the more coverage that the women's game gets, the better it's going to be. And, you know, it should lead to a bit more money coming into it as well, which I think is going to be important going forward, isn't it? Because that's been a big issue as well. I mean, Matt, do you think it's a good thing for Sky to be involved? I know the kickoffs may be changing and there'll be some strange, obviously, the games will get moved to different days of the week probably and some weird kickoff times. But do you think it's a good thing overall?
I think it's a good thing. I look towards, like, my nieces who might have an interest in the football in the future. Will they be watching? Yes, most likely, if their dad's watching it, or I just tell them that you're going to sit there and watch the game with me and look to inspire the next generation. This is what these girls are doing at the moment.
Yeah, no, 100%. And I think, you know, the last couple of World Cups as well with the has really helped that as well, hasn't it? Helped the game really develop. And like you said, they're kind of becoming role models now, aren't they? And, you know, young girls can look up to them and realise that they can actually have a career as a footballer as well, which maybe a few years ago when I was young, certainly that wasn't really possible for girls to even think about. So that's a massive positive. I mean, Harry, you sort of happy with the Sky involvement?
Yeah, you know what? From a personal level, it's, you know, I don't have Sky, so it means that I'm going to have to subscribe to watch the games. I think that it, as long as it's accessible for everybody, I think it is much better to have that Sky deal overall, because it's the investment into the women's football that they deserve, that they need. It's the accessibility that everybody can watch. It becomes more mainstream. I've got two boys and two girls. I want them to be completely on equal footing. I don't want them to feel like because they're girls, they can't do it. Because they're boys, they can't do it. I want them to have those opportunities. It doesn't matter whether it's football or anything else in life. That equality is important. I think it's a great thing. I think as long as it remains accessible for everyone, that's important. But I think that, you know, great to be seeing these games at the Emirates. That we should have much more of it.
Yeah, no, exactly.
It's Tottenham, isn't it?
Right. Yeah, there's another couple of games that are booked already, isn't there, I think, for the Emirates?
I think Spurs I think we're playing Spurs at the Emirates, is that right?
Yeah.
We're playing then at White Hart Lane.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's going to be good. I mean, Daniel Harry said there the games will... Sky will be. I think, I'm not sure the ones that on Sky won't be on there as well, will they, as far as I'm aware? I think it's just the ones that aren't on...
I think it's a three-way split. Between BBC, Sky and the FA player.
Right, yeah, because obviously we've got a game on BBC coming up soon, haven't we, Aston Villa? It's on BBC 2, isn't it? So, I mean, it's good that more games are going to be live on the telly, because it does mean it reaches out to a larger audience. Yeah, I mean, you made a good point there, Harry, about the accessibility, though, as well. Like you said, you don't subscribe to Sky. I don't subscribe to Sky either. So that becomes a slight issue in terms of accessibility to watch the games, I guess. But... you know, at least it is getting more coverage and at least more people are going to be able to potentially watch the games, because it's been a problem before. You know, I mean, the FA haven't always shown the games either, have they? Before then, it was difficult to watch any of them. So it's a massive step in the right direction. And let's hope it does lead to a lot more investment in the women's game elsewhere as well. And then, you know, hopefully we'll see you know, the gap kind of changed, really. Because, I mean, I did a watch along the other night at the Prague game, and somebody in the chat actually put a good point out about, you know, it'd be nice if the Arsenal women had their own stadium separate to, I mean, obviously sharing at Boreham Wood and separate to the Arsenal men's stadium, had their own separate stadium and be
They built their whole stadium, and the women have their own.
Yeah, and you know that's kind of would be maybe quite nice, wouldn't it, if the women had their own separate stadium as opposed to share. I know the Boreham was a great little stadium and it's fine, but ultimately it would be nice maybe. I hadn't really thought about it until it was mentioned the other night, and I thought that's quite a good point, you know, to get their own stadium. I mean, maybe if it could be, I know I'd say Man City kind of built it, it's opposite where the Etihad is, isn't it? It's a complex next to there. And I don't know if we can't probably do that at the Emirates now because there's not the space around it, but you know, maybe getting them a stadium built somewhere. I know it's a cost thing again, isn't it? But with more investment, who knows? Maybe that's something that we can look at in the future, maybe get them their own little stadium, which would be nice. And hopefully get bigger crowds in. I was a little bit disappointed actually with the crowd the other night. Did you go to that game, Harry, the Prague game?
No, I so wanted to go. I mean, it's good as my daughter had swimming lessons and I had to take her. So I was a bit gutted that I didn't get to go. But I will be at the next ones that come up at the whoever we play next on that Tuesday night. I'll be there.
It's just I thought the crowd was a bit. I thought there'd be a bit more of a crowd in. Actually, it didn't seem that much of a.
It was a bigger crowd than usually falls on a Tuesday night. I think there were about 1,000 people there.
Yeah,
and usually you get a few hundred. So it's an improvement of what you'd usually see on a weekday.
Okay, I mean, I was just expecting a bit more. The first game where fans could have been back, and you know, Champions League game. I don't know. I just thought maybe there was going to be a few more people in, but I'm sure that the crowds will be good throughout the season, especially if we keep winning games. That's going to get a lot and say play good football as well, which we have been doing. So lots to look forward to, which is the main thing. And you know, lots to look forward to on the channel as well. If you do like women's football, I say I'll be covering a game on Sunday. It's 12:30 kickoff, isn't it? Quite early, so I'll probably start my coverage about 20 past, go through the team lineup and look ahead to the game. And then obviously we've got the game Thursday. I'll get some coverage of that as well. And then next Sunday, unfortunately, I won't be able to do the Reading game on Sunday because I'm running the Great North Run and I won't be around, unfortunately, for that game. So I'll have to give that one a miss. But I'm going to cover most of the games. I will maybe try and do a show on Friday, actually. We can look back on the Thursday night game, look back on Chelsea, and then look ahead to the Reading game as well. If you guys are available next Friday, similar time, we can maybe get that done for then as well, if that suits you. But I can message you guys about it anyway in the meantime. But first of all, thank you very much, Andreas, for coming on. Been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you for having me.
No problem at all. And Matt as well, thanks a lot for coming on.
Thank you for having me. It was really good fun tonight.
No, as long as you enjoyed it. And Harry, of course, as well. Thank you as well for coming on, and look forward to meeting you guys again very soon, hopefully next week, if you're around.
Okay.
No problem.
Thank you very much for organising it.
No worries at all. It's been a pleasure. It's been a good show. I've enjoyed it. And hopefully, again, I say we can do it again, make it a regular thing. So thanks to all you guys for watching as well. Thanks to the guys in the chat who's joined in. It is on YouTube. It'll be on Spotify as well later on. So check it out there if you missed it live. And in the meantime, of course, heading into a big game on Sunday. Let's hope for a good performance from the Arsenal. Come on, you Gunners. 3 points. Let's start the season with a win. Cheers, guys. Speak to you all soon. Yeah, take it easy.
Yeah.
Cheers.